Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Have you ever thought about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro and how difficult is it? I know for a lot of people it's one of these dream things. It's on the bucket list. It's the sort of thing they'd love to do before, well, the end of their lifetime. Not to be too downbeat about it. But our own Today FM broadcaster, who a familiar voice that you'd often hear with us on the Pod Squad, Shelley Gray, is with me in studio today. How are you doing?
Hello, hello. Jambo, jambo.
Yeah, you were here today to, well, in our effort to try and live well and live a little bit better, you have recently climbed Kilimanjaro.
Yeah. I don't know if it's to live well. It's just made me broke.
Really?
But yeah, it's the most amazing experience. I would highly recommend it to anyone. Like, you're just in the wilderness. You're sleeping in tents. You're pushing the body. Actually, I think that's one of the main reasons I did it, Andrea, because I wanted to really challenge myself and see how far I can push my body from a fitness point of view, but more so from a high altitude point of view as well. Yeah.
So was it always on the bucket list or what possessed you?
I don't know. Literally, as I was climbing on Summit Night, I was like, why am I doing this? Why did I pay money to do this?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. First, I was on a solo trip in Costa Rica, met a girl there who had done Everest Base Camp. So then last year, so October 2023, I did Everest Base Camp. And when I was doing that, I met people who had done Kilimanjaro. And once I get a thing in my head, I'm like, yeah I'm going to do that too. So I think it's a clinical condition I have.
Right. Yeah. So it was sort of just to kind of prove to yourself maybe that you could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and now I have another mountain on my in my head, Aconcagua in the Andes. I've no idea.
I know. And like, and I know you, and I follow you on social media, and watching your trek throughout just looked like hell from my perspective. But I know that you thoroughly enjoyed it. But I want you to I want you to tell me about that and convince me why this is good, why it's something that a lot of our listeners, because I know it is something that a lot of people kind of dream about doing, and there's probably loads of reasons that they don't do it or never get around to it, and maybe the cost factor too, and the physical endurance that's required. But where so how did you start? What does preparation look like for this?
Well, I did a lot of training. You will hear people who will say, oh yeah, sure, Michael down the road did it and no bother to him. I'm sure he's never ran in his life. You know, he's no training at all. Would not recommend. Like, if you want to do it, you need to be physically fit if you want to enjoy it whilst you're doing it. So I was like, I would train anyways most days, but I was doing extra altitude training here in Dublin in a centre called Altipeaks. So it's very specialised for high altitude. You, like I did it this morning, you go in, you do a spin class, but it's 30 degrees heat and they lower the oxygen to 15%, which is about 2,800 metres in terms of a mountain. Now, that's nowhere near the summit of Kilimanjaro, but it's a little bit of a help. So I was doing that 3 days a week, plus then gym every other day. So that's like,
For how long?
Oh, like I didn't really stop since Everest Base Camp. So say for a year and a half, I've been doing that. But again, like if someone gets it in their head today, if I hopefully inspire somebody to do it, and if they have their headset maybe on September or August, like that's loads of time to get your training in, get physically fit. And yeah, hopefully you'll enjoy it. But like physical fitness, Andrea, is just maybe 50% of it. You could be super fit. Like in my group, there was nine of us in the group who climbed at the time. And like one girl did an Ironman the month before. She was really, really sick on the mountain. One guy did ultramarathons, like these crazy ultramarathons. He collapsed on the summit. Like he made it to the summit. He got the photo. He collapsed. Now he was absolutely fine. The guides are so well experienced. They like rushed him down, put him on oxygen and he was fine. But like fitness is only one element of it. And also there's the mental aspect of it. Like if you think on our summit night, you wake up at 11, you have a quick cup of coffee or whatever. You start trekking at midnight. It is minus 20 degrees because you want to get up there early in the morning. Now, the aim was to get up there for sunrise. We were just really, really slow. You have to go slow anyways. They say pole, pole. So if you go slow, that will help you avoid altitude sickness. But we actually didn't get there until about 9:30 in the morning. So we were extra slow. But yeah, it's just that you're trekking for over nine hours for us in minus 20 degrees. You have six layers on you. It is impossible to go to the toilet on the side of the mountain when you're just, you can't move your fingers because they're so cold, or it's just such such an effort to take off your gloves. I'm not really selling this, actually.
No.
the ending is
absolutely be so enthralled by this and completely and utterly convinced. But okay, so it starts at midnight, you get there at 9:30, and it's just a slow trek.
Constant, yeah.
Like, and in terms of the actual, the trek part, the climb, how difficult was that? We'll say, because I know you climb a lot around Ireland. I know you were away at the weekend as well. So how would you compare the physicality of that?
I was never out of breath on Kilimanjaro, and it's because you have to go that pole pole, like slowly, slowly. So you're literally step, step, like, and everyone's in the same rhythm. Whereas, yeah, I did Carn Tuathail there on Saturday, like a fool in the rain and the wind, and I was, you know, just hammering up the mountain and I was out of breath. So it's different. It's a different kind of physicality involved. So, yeah, I think if you're fit, you'd be well able to do it. As even if you're just going to like the gym or going for a run every day or whatever, you'd be well able to
do it. But the altitude training, like, and I know from you telling me this previously as well, that was a big part of the training in this for you too, beyond the gym.
Yeah. And I think I did have that advantage over maybe some of the other people in the group, because it's not everywhere you get centres like that that do the altitude training. So definitely, I think that's what prevented me from getting sick.
You went on your own, didn't you? You soloed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would highly recommend going on your own. I couldn't imagine going with somebody I know, because like it's bad enough having to look after yourself, but if you have a partner or like some kind of sibling, or, you know, you kind of have to mind them as well. Yeah. And if they get sick, you kind of have to hold back and mind them. That sounds really selfish.
Yeah, no. I totally get it. But you went with an organised group effectively, didn't you?
So I went with a group called G Adventures. So anyone who does solo travel will be well familiar with G Adventures. So you join a group, like there was 9 of us in the group, and I was actually so lucky because they were just savage crack. Like straight away, we just all had the same sense of humour. We knew nobody was going to get offended by any of our jokes, that kind of thing. And on the mountain as well, because there's no signal, we didn't have any WhatsApp, we didn't have any Instagram or anything for the whole week. So we didn't even notice, like our phones were just on the table, like at nighttime at the dinner table. When I say dinner table, this is in a tent.
Yeah.
But we were just having serious crack, just howling. Even the guides would come into our tent, they'd be like, we can hear you from miles away because you're just so loud. Like, it was just unreal.
So what was the trip to get there? You've all your gear.
Oh yeah, gear is a big thing, and I probably underestimated that when I did base camp. Actually, that was another reason why I wanted to do Kilimanjaro, because I bought gear for base camp and it was quite spenny. Like, I was like, I need to get my money's worth out of this.
Yeah.
So
cost per use.
Yeah, so thankfully I could use all my stuff from base camp. But yeah, like you have all your thermal layers, your ski jacket, your down jacket. There's so many layers, just so many layers, your poles, your backpack. You've no technical equipment, like you know that you might see on TV people using ropes or crampons, the spiky shoes. Like none of that is involved at Kilimanjaro, which is a good thing. So it is a technically easy climb. It's just more the endurance and getting over that altitude sickness, because it's quite a speedy ascent. Like we did it in 6 days, up to 5,985 meters.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
When you got to the top, what is going through your head?
Thank God I'm not dead.
Yeah.
Literally, like you're vertical, you're climbing vertical for that 9.5 hours, and eventually you get to a place called Stella Point. And I just remember my heels, the backs of my feet being so sore, because your feet are like that, like facing up the mountain all the time. So you get to a place called Stella Point, and that's not even the top, but it's from there, it's about a 30 minute kind of easy enough gradient to Uhuru, which is the highest peak in Africa. So yeah, it's an amazing feeling. And you are slow. You posted a video there of me and it looks like I'm literally drunk on Kilimanjaro. I swear I'm not, but it's just me being just mentally exhausted.
I thought it'd give a real insight though into the challenge. I mean, you can see like the level of, you know, it was endurance that's required to get through it. Would you recommend?
Yes, 100%. Now, when I came down to base camp from the summit, so we, again, climbing up for 9.25 hours or whatever, and then you have to come down. So that's about 3 hours now. We were just bombing it down the mountain. But then you get to base camp. And I remember landing in base camp, just flunking myself into the tent saying, if you paid me 20 grand, I would never do that again. And in my head, I was like, in 3 days time, I'll be in a beach in Zanzibar, that kind of thing. But then when I got to a beach in Zanzibar, I was like, oh, geez, that was serious crack. I'd love to be in a tent again under the stars. The stars are amazing on Kilimanjaro. Like, yeah, absolutely. 10 out of 10 would recommend. Yeah. Like, it's just,
well, I can,
I'm still on the high from it.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell. You can really, you know, for listeners, get that sense from you. Like, you're a great advocate for it. You've mentioned you've somewhere else in your sights now too.
Oh yeah, Aconcagua. Andy's, don't know where I'm going to get the money. Can I set up a GoFundMe for Shelley's holidays?
Well, maybe for How I Live Well. I mean, who knows? There might be a few of our listeners want to join you on the trek. Gary in Cork has got in touch. He says, my late dad climbed Kilimanjaro. Oh. He was 69 years of age and he absolutely loved every minute of it.
It is
not fantastic.
Yeah.
Shelley, thanks a million for coming in
talk about my holidays.
Yeah, your trek and your trails. No, it's incredible to listen to you chat about it. You know, the best and worst moments of that. That's Today FM broadcaster Shelley Gray. Shelley, thanks a million for joining us here.
Thank you very much. Santa.
Yeah, on Lunchtime Live.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.